Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Got to cut and run through the ball. They'll do better than this guy.
Get it into Boozer. Back for Saar. Ahead. Boozer. That ball deflected and stolen by Mullins. Caravan, 2 seconds. Mullins tosses it out. Oh! It's good. We're 0.3. UConn goes in front.
Utterly impossible.
March means drama.
The deflection, the reaction. And then the major legends out of Indiana, they all can shoot. Nylon from deep, astounding.
The freshman, Braylon Mullins.
Wow, what a play. All Duke had to do was hold the ball.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight, and let's go.
Here we go!
And with that, we had another instant March Madness classic. Duke with one of the all-time chokes. And once again, never leave a white boy from Indiana wide open from three. It don't matter how far away it is. Do not leave him open. Braylon Mullins from Greenfield, Indiana. And the UConn Huskies are going back to the Final Four, back to Indiana, as we had a hell of a game to close out the Elite Eight. Andy Pollin is here on a Monday. Hello, Andy. How does my voice sound to you?
I'm impressed. I think there was at least 1 year when post Zabe Vegas that I did your show for you because you had no voice.
Oh my God. Totally crushed. Yeah. I paced myself this year and we had microphones on stage when we were doing the little podcast. So that helped out a lot, but it was a great weekend. People, my listeners had wonderful things to say about you and they were asking about you. Like, when are you ever going to get Andy out to one of these? And I said, but oh, he was out at one of these many years ago. You went to more than one?
Yeah. I had a good time. I liked that.
You went to the one at Mandalay Bay.
And I thought there was another one too.
And then the one at the Palazzo with, of course, Bobby Knight and Billy Packer. Knight, Billy Packer. That one was great as well. Sadly, the Palazzo, that sports book is closed, but it's not demolished yet. It's sitting locked behind the glass. All the furniture is there. And they guess they can't make money on charging people for food and beer and drinks and watching the games. Very sad, but we missed you out there. It was a great Zabe Vegas. Thank you to everyone who came out. I have a full Vegas recap of not just the stuff that we did, but a lot of thank yous. And I've got a nearly 40-minute conversation tableside with Gil Alexander and Mr. X and Armin Sarian about the state of Vegas. And the fact, Andy, that while we were out there, the NBA approved an NBA team for Vegas as well as Seattle. So, gentlemen, start your engines. The bidding has begun. And this franchise is likely to cost $7 billion fucking dollars.
Or more. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, the NBA, one of the things that Adam Silver said a few months ago was, well, we've got this great television deal and we only have to divide it 30 ways. Do we want to divide it 32? And I guess there's a price to divide it by 32.
They did the math on that. The answer is, yeah, for $7 billion straight to the league. Well, $15 billion when it's all said and done because you have two teams.
Right.
Right. So, look, we are living in an age of billionaires. And you can get mad at it all you want. You can be like Bernie Sanders. There's wealth, income, inequality. We've got to do something about it. But billionaires are going to splurge for a team because if you're worth $300 billion, what's seven to you? Nothing. Right. Right.
And if you buy in at seven and you sell in 5 years, you might get 12.
Right.
That's the way the prices are going.
The only thing that I would say that the thing that I've never seen in my lifetime, and neither of you, contraction and or franchise values going down. Nobody has ever lost money on paper selling a team after buying a team.
Let me give you one.
And
he was the originator of sports radio, a really good guy, Jeff Smullyan, Jeff Smullyan always wanted to own a baseball team, bought the Seattle Mariners when they played in the Kingdome and was flirting with the idea of going to Tampa, I believe, when they weren't drawing. And baseball had a rule, I don't know whether it still exists, but they had to get local ownership bids first. Nintendo bought the team and he took a loss on it. He may be one of the only guys to ever take a loss on a baseball team.
Now, that was reported as a loss?
Well, he'll tell you it was a loss.
You can say that all you want, but accountants might say, well, for the sake of the IRS, let's call this a loss.
Well, yeah, he had used his money from what he had done with his radio stations, not just WFAN, but other stations that he owned, and had to do some belt tightening along the way because the baseball team was hemorrhaging money.
Yeah. Well, how about the choke job by Duke? Because I just tweeted just seconds ago. I'm like, that was a good game, which I always like to tweet that whenever there's a real, oh my God moment. I screamed. My wife came over from the living room like, what's the matter? What happened? I go, you won't believe this.
March Madness. Yeah.
Look, oh my God.
They had a stat at the end of the game. Teams number one seeds with a 15-point lead were 134-0.
At halftime.
First time it's ever happened.
Yeah. Well, look, the universe owed us this Duke puke because they should have been out in round one to Siena. That was what we were denied. And they have gotten such a heavy whistle. Duke got the company push all the way to this point in the tournament. It was long overdue. And this is just proof that there is a sports god and he does love us. He loves us inherently and wants to give us nice things. And he made up for what almost happened in round one.
Well, also, Danny Hurley's a hell of a coach.
He really is.
And he never let his team get out of it. They stayed with it. Even there was a couple of Duke whistles down the stretch. There was a call, a foul on Boozer. There was clearly a charge, which didn't, you know. And that's kind of what you expect at that point in the game. It's like, ooh, Duke might lose. Let's swallow it here. But, he's three Final Fours in 4 years. And this guy, Alex Caravan, who seems – I thought he played with Khalid Al-Amin. He's been there forever.
Been there a long time. He should have gone to the NBA, but said he wants to come back and stay with these band of brothers. I don't know how his prospects are viewed as an NBA player. Speaking of that, you know, Boozer's kid is supposed to be a lottery pick, and he will be a lottery pick. He was supposed to be the number one player in the draft. I don't know. The more I watch him and the more that I hear from guys that really know basketball and various text threads, they don't think much of him as a pro player. He's a great college player, but he's kind of limited, at least right now. He may get better when it's all said and done. But there's a ton of great players in this NBA draft, and it's the last year we're going to get to tank, Andy, because I want to talk about today, not right now, I want to get to eventually, these anti-tanking measures that were rolled out by the league this week.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll do that later. So anyway, good to see Duke lose. I forgot, is Jeremy, he's not a Duke fan being a Hoosier.
No, but his 8 month pregnant wife is a Duke graduate. So hopefully there was but she seems to have a little bit better perspective on big games than he does. So
she's sensible about it. Well, she's a dentist. So, I mean, of course, she's a doctor. Like, you would hope that she would not be living and dying with the outcome of stupid basketball games.
Yeah, and frankly, before she met Jeremy, she wasn't, you know, a wild sports fan, a sports fan, but not.
Yeah.
And she's somewhat bemused by the importance that our family places on sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys are too into it, huh?
Well, I mean, she's not against it, and it didn't hold up the love matrimony, but it was like, whoa, look at these people. They're crazy about their sports teams.
Yeah. Well, this kid, Braylon Mullins, he looks like just a mop top sort of scrawny freshman white kid that you almost think, well, you know, what's he in the game for? He's actually a stud, and 6'6", was really good in high school in Indiana. And he puts up 1,000 shots a day. I'm looking at a YouTube video of
right.
him. 1,000 shots a day. And when the moment came to him, he didn't flinch. Buried that son of a bitch.
To take nothing away from what he did. But these are shots that these guys practice now. That used to be a prayer.
Yeah.
But now, you know, in the
Steph Curry.
Clark, Steph Curry world, those are legit shots.
Yeah, well, that the state of the art, which I've been telling you for a long time, continues to get better and better and better in everything in life. Athletics is another way it gets better. So what used to be a heave and let me throw it up there, these guys are shooting it in form without any external effort just because they're training to shoot from further out. Hell, right. The big three late that Caravan hit was like a 26-footer.
Yeah, and it's not and you see them shoot them during the course of the game too. Not just when the shot clock is running out either.
Yeah. Also, it should be noted that once upon a time, the ACC pioneered the experimental 3-point shot and it was inside the top of the key.
Right.
Do you remember that year? It was like 83, I want to say.
It was, and Billy Packer got all incensed about it. And I think he challenged, you can look this up. I think he challenged Lefty Driesell to a shooting contest.
Really?
Saying
it was too short. Billy Packer was like, this is too short.
Yeah, Lefty, come on now. You got to get some shooters out here, you know.
Unbelievable. And then there's this, Andy, your favorite Barstool personality. Dave Portnoy had to get this into the ecosystem after the win. I know that you appreciate high-level commentary like this. Okay. At what point do you look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm probably getting a bit too old to be acting like this? What? What do you love? He'll never say that because he's too rich and he doesn't care?
Well, is that in response to he's happy that Duke lost, or did he put a big number on Duke and he lost?
Either way, but we're talking a 49-year-old unmarried man, and you say to yourself, what am I doing with my life? Yes, I'm rich. Yes, I've got a lot of people kissing my ass because I've built this alternate media company that is the darling of this current internet age. Mm-hmm. But damn, man, do you wake up and go, I look like a total douche? I guess not. I guess when you get into that mode as an influencer or an online personality, the thing you got to, I guess, tell yourself and teach yourself is to never be self-embarrassed about anything.
Well, I will say this for him, because this is mostly what I consume. I don't really consume much of his sports stuff, his pizza reviews. And he
keep going back to this. But these are not sophisticated scientific things. And
understand me.
What did the late Tom Snyder once say about pizza? Go ahead. You can say it. It's on a podcast.
He said, even when it's bad, it's good.
It's like a Lewinsky. Even when it's bad, it's good. You got to turn down a slice of pizza and
understand.
No.
But here's what he does. He does the people whose businesses he reviews.
That is true.
Do really well, and he's very generous with helping people out. And during the pandemic, he was very good to people who were running small businesses. So I respect that about him.
Okay, I hear you on that front. And he does have a way of interacting with.
Yeah.
It's a good shtick, but in terms of like, are you really getting the proper analysis of whether pizza's good or not? I doubt it.
No.
I had my own pizza disaster, by the way, in Vegas. So it's almost 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm coming back to MGM and I'm like, I got to stop at Aria because they have a place called Moneyline Pizza by the sports book. It has cup pepperoni, the cup and char style pepperoni that curls up, charred on the edges, crisp, and the middle of it retains all the juicy goodness of the
fat. Called grease.
Called grease, exactly. Okay. And I'm in line and they're closing at 2. Because Vegas is not as 24/7 as you would like to think it once was. It's changed. They're closing at 2. I've had a few cocktails. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get my Moneyline pepperoni pizza. The woman in front of me orders the last pepperoni slices. It sat there under the glass. And I was like, oh, my God, please tell me they're going to bring another one out. Please tell me they're going to bring another one out. He's like, oh, all we got left is cheese. No! So I got a slice of cheese pizza. I ate that instead. And let me tell you, it did not hit nearly like it should have.
Did you think of the Seinfeld babka incident?
No.
You might wrestle the woman for the slice?
I should have said, ma'am, how much is that slice worth to you? I just had a good run at the craps table. Yeah. Give me a price. $10. $20, $50. What is it going to take? Speaking of that, I just remember this incident. So another night in Vegas, I'm walking back to my room and there's a group of early 20 something kids. I can call them kids, right? 20 somethings. Sure. Young people.
You're old enough to be your children, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Two guys, two gals. And the one gal stops as she's walking, and she looks into the glass window of this little pop-up convenience shop, which had all kinds of alcoholic drinks in there and, you know, seltzers and whatnot. She goes, oh, it's a Neutral's Tall Boy watermelon. Oh, I can't find those anywhere. And they start to talk amongst themselves. And the one of them says, well, it's probably too expensive. It's like $12 or something. I then say, come on, you found it in there. Yeah, this is the universe calling, splurge, come on. And she was kind of like hesitating. And I just said, you know what, screw it, I'll buy it. So I go in there, and I don't think I committed a crime here because they were carded to be legal age, but I walked right in there. I grabbed that, I go, this is the one? She's like, yeah. And I just put it down, peeled off some cash. I go, here you go. Have a nice night. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And they were on their way. I feel it was a way for me to do my, to keep my karma shiny. Okay. Keep it shiny.
Boy, you rescued some 20 somethings in Vegas. It was an act of kindness, which will never be forgotten.
Then I later hear, she unfortunately had a brownout situation and there was an incident, and they're saying you're the one that supplied her the tall boy neutral seltzer. Okay, so anyway, March Madness is now into the Final Four. We got two ones facing off against each other, Arizona, Michigan, and a 2 and a 3 in UConn and Illinois. Your bigger picture thoughts about the tournament?
Having watched Michigan, I can't believe they can lose except to Arizona. So right. Now this will bring up, because we have the whole week for this, they ought to reseed the Final Four. They need to reseed. Gotta do it. No, but more than likely the winner of that game will win it all. But you know, you never know. But like 91, UNLV was supposed to repeat. They were undefeated and they'd beaten Duke by 30 the year before, right. So you never know. But those two teams look clearly a notch above the other two.
Despite the fact that the portal plus NIL and budgets for programs are completely out of whack, all that, it's still an incredible product. You really can't fuck it up. And as long as you don't do this something dumb like, let's reseed the Final Four, thankfully no one has an appetite for that anymore, you really can't mess it up because it's super high-level basketball. But unlike the NBA, it is not full of just sort of nonsense and agendas and flopping. And it's one and done. That's
one and done. That's
the high wire act and the agony and the ecstasy. This year's one shining moment is going to have some bangers in it for highlights.
Oh, we just saw it in the Duke game. I mean, that's
that one from the first round, though.
Yeah.
What the upset was in the first round. But there were some upsets. It was pretty chalky. And here's how I know how chalky it was, because I did great betting on games at Zabe Vegas. I was 9-2.
Whoa.
I won a little bit of money only because one of the two losses was my biggest bet, $500 on Fred frickin' Hoiberg, who sent four guys on the court out of a timeout down three. Oh, my God. I'm like, you know, earlier in the tournament, you had what's his name joking about Kevin Willard, your favorite ex-term coach, joking about I need to fire my staff.
Yeah.
Well, if ever there was a time to fire your staff, Hoiberg should fire his. How do they have all these assistants, Andy, and none of them noticed? Hey, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, what about this? I mean, Kevin Harlan is a very good play-by-play guy, I think.
Yes.
And he also has Robbie Hummel, who is excellent with him. And it took Stan Van Gundy to go, hey, wait a minute. There's only four guys on the court because it was a breakaway layup.
Yes.
And they go, how can that guy be left open? Well, he's left open because the guy who's supposed to be covering him is still on the bench.
Yeah. When I say how can that happen, I mean, it's sports. It's chaos. Shit happens. Yeah. Things get overlooked.
It does happen. I'll tell you this, though.
It's the fog of war, for sure, that sometimes envelops. But, man, oh, man, if you're Hoiberg in Nebraska, you got to feel sick about that.
The one of the more iconic moments of the movie Hoosiers is when the ref comes over to Gene Hackman and says, Coach, I need another one. He says, my team is on the floor. And Hoiberg said he took the blame for it. But he said he thought maybe the referee was supposed to come over to him and say, hey, you need one more, which didn't happen. They come out of a timeout. They only got four on the court.
Really? Did he kind of try to say, hey, man, the ref should have told us?
No, it's just that, you know, he said, I've never been in that situation before. Of course not. You an idiot would a junior high school coach go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it's just like on the punt team. The punter's supposed to count the number of guys that are on the field. If there are too many or too few, you get, you know.
And so, you remember why Norman Dale sent out four guys?
Because this was before Jimmy Chitwood came back to play. So he only had six guys, and Pee-wee was in the game. It was so, he's so decimated. And he benched a player for getting into a fight. He wasn't tossed from the game. And so when one guy fouled out and he was only, one guy on the bench, he goes to check in, and Norman Dale says, where are you going? Well, I've got to get five on the board. Sit down. And then he's like, and Shooter's up in the stands, and Dennis Hopper's looking at it like, oh yeah, he's teaching his kids how to play basketball. And great scene.
It is a great scene. Do you remember why Raid was benched?
It was a fight, right?
He refused to follow the four passes before a shot.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if that applies in modern basketball. Do you?
I know, but if it's in a movie.
I'm sure back then it was an accepted practice, but yeah. Sure. So how about all these fucking Euros now in college basketball? Pretty much people are doing memes about Illinois' coach just, with like a European, Eastern European cap and a cigarette and all of his Monsilovich's and everyone else, although Monsilovich is on Illinois State. But yeah, I mean, they are harvesting young would-be Euro pros to come here and play.
You know why?
I don't like it.
You know why?
Well, they're good.
Rick Pitino said it. They make more money here. There's more money in college basketball than playing in the Euro League.
Well, not only is there more money, but they're really fucking good. Because they don't come up through the AAU culture, which is a toxic culture for quality team basketball. And they can all fucking shoot. In Europe, they learn how to shoot. So
Now some of this is not new. I don't know why this how this happened or why it happened, but it got Seton Hall to the championship game. Seton Hall in 1989, in fall of 88, they bring in Andrew Gaze from Australia. He's 26 years old. And he's a professional basketball player. He arrives on campus in October. He leads them to the championship game, goes back to Australia the day after the championship game. This is when we still used to have student athletes. And they let that happen. I don't, nobody said anything then. It just was allowed to be.
Yeah. He's got Mirkovic, who's from Montenegro. They've got Petrovic's kid. And they had a lot of Peja Stoja. Or no, they had a lot of... not Peja Stojaković. Actually, no. Yeah, Andre Stojaković is Peja's kid. He's from California, but obviously his dad was from Yugoslavia. He's got a Mirkovic, a Petrovic, and two Avicic's. the brothers from Croatia.
Money.
So are you fine with this many years? And of course, they got Keaton Wagler, who's very, very good from Kansas.
No, but it is what it is. This is the way the game is played now. Look, when the Fab Five had the five freshmen, I think four of them were from Michigan, right? You know how many players on Michigan are from Michigan this year? One.
Yeah. Also, they got a kid from Puerto Rico in Brandon Lee. So there's that. One of the guys on UConn, I didn't know this, is a Leesburg kid, solo ball. Now, he played at high-level prep schools all over the place, but they were like, he hails from Leesburg, Virginia. I was like, all right, Leesburg is in the house. Very nice on that. Okay, future of the tournament, do you think they're going to ruin it by expanding?
No, I don't think you can, because basically we have like separate tournaments. And the first weekend, we do a lot of kvetching, and they've expanded it, and then... But by the time you get to the second weekend, which we've just had, it's a really good tournament, right? I mean, the games were by and large good.
Yeah, it's really good. I hope they don't do anything further to make it worse, because it's still really good. It's not what it once was.
No.
But then again, nothing is what it once was, including you and I, Andy. Got to admit that much.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Tell me about it, exactly. One last thing about these older players and whatnot. Yaxel Lendeborg may be a great kid, and he's a really good player, obviously, player of the year in the Big Ten. But look, dude, no, read the room, you douchebag, because here was his question and answer about on a big bucket he made late again in the Elite Eight, or no, I'm sorry, in the Sweet 16, and about why he was offended because they put a freshman on him. Here is
Yaxel. The second half, you had to step back three and then held the pose. For a moment, was that a message? What you just lost in the moment, was that a message to your teammates? What you talk about the halftime, was that a little bit of a message to Alabama? All of it, maybe.
Honestly, I kind of felt a little disrespected having a freshman guarding me. But like, yes, I mean,
dude, you're like 24 and you've played on seven fucking teams already. Maybe appreciate the fact that you're an adult who should be in the pros and you're just ringing the bell for easy NIL money.
Like, you're not Larry Bird, right, you know?
Right. Exactly. I'm insulted they put a freshman on me.
I mean, Larry Bird said, come on, you put a white guy on me. Come on. What are you doing here?
When did Larry Bird say that?
Oh, he was like a masterful trash talker. I think he said it to Rick Pitino when they were playing the Knicks, when Pitino was coaching the Knicks. He goes by the bench. He goes, come on, Rick, you got a white guy guarding me. What are you doing?
Even though Bird was a white guy, he was.
Well, that was the point. Yeah,
exactly. All right. A couple more things on the tournament. And that is Rick Barnes, who he's an easy target to go up. Once again, Rick Barnes came up short at the highest moment. He did not have the horses this year with Tennessee. They outpunched their seeding to get to where they were. He has done with Tennessee as good a job as you could reasonably expect. He's really been good with them.
Yeah.
It's just he hasn't won at all. Now, it's very hard to win at all. I mean, between Bill Self and Tom Izzo and I think one other third coach, you know, you count their championships on one hand combined because it's just hard to do. But here was what Barnes said about, you know, the day and age that we're living in when it comes to NIL and portal. Some coaches may complain about it, but he actually said, no, I actually like this. And here was his reason.
I'm blessed. But I do. I love coaching basketball and I do know that God will make it perfectly clear when my time's up. And I've said before this week that I'm in a wonderful situation at the University of Tennessee. But I don't know if I would say that if I were those guys, because I will say this, it's easier today than it was back then, because today it's easy. You can recruit a guy now for a week and get him. You know what I mean? Hey, just what's the number? You know, but in some ways it's easier. And I'm being brutally honest. It really is.
So, yeah, that's some good brutal honesty going. I don't have to worry about showing up at practices to go after a kid, sending him letters, getting nervous after a year and a half of recruiting. I'm just like, What's it going to take? Right. Give me a number.
Two stories. One, the recruitment of Moses Malone when he was coming out of Petersburg High School. Maryland had Howard White, who later became an executive at Nike and was a grad assistant then, spend every night for 2 or 3 months at the Holiday Inn in Petersburg so he could encounter Moses every single day. The rules were different then.
Oh, and then, my God.
Yeah. And then Jim Valvano, when he was coaching at Iona, he had an assistant at every practice and every game for Jeff Rulett, recruiting him. And he got, but that's what you had to do back in the day. Now he's right. And that's why Rick Pitino at 73 just signed an extension for like 4 more years to coach at St. John's, because the grind of recruiting isn't there anymore. What's the number? That's all it is.
Yeah. And, you know, luckily for Pitino, I don't think there's a bigger program he would want to go to. And it's going so well. And they got Mike Repol of Vitamin Water as their billionaire sugar daddy.
Right.
But if you're Will Wade at NC State and LSU is like, hold on a second now. What ran Will out of here the first time was saying players. Now is legal? Well, what are we doing? We need to get old Will Wade back down here. I'm sorry, boss, but he is under contract with NC State. Why? We have ways around that whole contractual thing.
Jeff Landry, right, the governor.
So now they've got Lane Kiffin, who they stole, and they got Will Wade, who they stole as well. Right. And there's no shame in it, and they're paying those guys a shit ton of money. People are saying that NC State has got to sue. They have got to pursue this legally, because otherwise you'll send the signal of, well, when we write a contract for a player or a coach, it doesn't mean anything. You can just do whatever you want. They need to, for their own sake, Andy, sue, even if they're going to lose in the end.
Well, it doesn't matter. It'll just be money. It'll just be money that they'll get in a settlement. But you can't force Will Wade to coach at a place that he doesn't want to coach, you know?
No, but you could enjoin him legally if you got a good enough ruling on coaching elsewhere.
I guess, but
I'm pretty sure they could stop him from coaching at LSU. There was a player in the college football recruiting world that signed with who it was, and then he left the next day, and they threatened to sue the shit out of him, and then he reconsidered and he stayed.
I think it was the University of Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
So. Yeah,
but that was just, they met the number that he was going to leave for. That's all that was. That's, you know, he was going to leave to get more money someplace else. And they match the number. It's professional sports.
Yeah. And then there's one more tournament thing, which is Kevin Harlan. By the way, Iron Eagle is so sublime. Raftery is still super sharp at his age, which is now, how old is Raftery?
He's in his, I think he's 82.
Yeah. He's still super sharp. Grant Hill has found his role on that broadcast. But Iron Eagle is so good. And for him to call a moment like that, so good. Every time he calls a game, I'm so delighted. I'm like, great, Iron Eagle's on the game. He's going to have a great call of this game.
Yeah. No, he's I think we're getting to the point where Jim Nance may just be doing golf, because I think Eagle's ready to move up to the number one spot in football too.
Well, I think honestly at this point, Nance is a bummer now because Eagle's gotten so good. The familiarity and the dulcet tones of hello, friends, is not enough to sustain the fact that Eagle has sharper, more energetic, more electric calls that deliver entertainment value.
And he also does basketball. He does the Brooklyn Nets on a regular basis. Like Nance, when he was doing basketball, what did they do? Four or five regular season games before he got to Jonathan?
Yeah, he wouldn't do very many games. Yeah, but he can still do it okay.
Yeah, he's a great broadcaster, but Eagle's better at it, no question.
The other great announcer who's the B guy for the tournament is Kevin Harlan. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Harlan can make anything sound exciting, including something like a horn that gets stuck on in an IT screw-up down in Houston at the Sweet 16. Take a look.
And there's nothing more painful than that. It all comes down to this, the final shot to make it on the U.S. team roster on March 31st at 7, make it 6 p.m. Eastern. The U.S. men's national team will face Portugal.
True Pro is having to deliver this through the horn. It's flaring away.
And HBO Max. Surely there's a way to plug this. Surely there's a horn expert somewhere in this building.
Well, this is where the players, you have got to mentally stay locked in. You have this disruption. This has got to be weird, right? It is a weird.
Surely there's got to be a horn expert in the building.
Really? Yeah. Or somebody just find the horn and smash it. Just take a hammer.
Exactly. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. All right, we've piddled around long enough. Let's get to the real big story of the last several days. Tiger Woods with his fourth serious car crash of his career, this time flipping his SUV in broad daylight in Florida and then being issued a citation for DUI and arrested, even though he blew a .000 on the breathalyzer for alcohol. It is widely known in, you know, quiet circles that the guy has a problem with pain medication because of his body breaking down and everything else, and that at times at public events, including at some of these dumbass TGL events, he has not looked right. This is not any great, wow, I didn't know this was an issue. And he flips his car, gets cited for a DUI, arrested, booked, has not spoken since. This happened on Thursday. And it's now Sunday night. What do you think is going on? What do you think is going to happen? And how serious is Tiger Woods' drug addiction? I'll hang up and listen off the air.
Must be very serious, A. B, why he hasn't gotten a driver by now, I don't know. And how many more of these does he get until he kills somebody? And then, oh, why didn't somebody stop this? I remember this, though. It goes back at least 15 years when he was hosting his own tournament at Congressional. And I think you told me this, you did the Sunday wrap up show.
I remember seeing Tiger driving on the Beltway. Yeah. And I was like following him and going, I can't believe that. That's Tiger Woods. He's driving his own car. He's there himself. Well, the reason he doesn't get a driver, let's just dispatch with that. Nobody wants a driver when they are otherwise that young. I mean, even when old people. You know how your parents.
Yeah, I know. I went through it with my father. I understand that.
Right.
But you know, my father was not a billionaire. You know, he grew up in the Depression and couldn't afford to have a driver at every. You know, this is somebody who could have a full time driver at his disposal 24 hours a day.
But as somebody said, when you're conducting a lot of side missions require a solo driver.
That's true. Yeah.
You just don't want to be. But here's the going back to the last car crash that nearly killed him in California, 2021, which, by the way, NBC News had to apologize.
Yeah.
They ran footage of that crash as part of the B-roll on the network news. So, one, that's shitty journalism right there. Secondly, it's a funny case of no, the other Tiger Woods crash footage, that there's so much of it because there's four of these now. They right. have a hard time. Wait, which one was this? So the 2021 crash is unique because not only should he not be here, it was a miracle he lived. His leg got seriously messed up in the process. Part of what has really prevented him from ever making a full comeback on the PGA Tour. And there's more to it because Alan Shipnuck, writing in his book, Live and Let Die, has the following passage, which is really good. He said, on February 23rd, 2021, something dark visited Tiger Woods. On that fateful Tuesday morning, he had to be up early to film some content for Golf Digest at Rolling Hills Country Club. He was traveling east on a hilly, winding portion of Hawthorne Boulevard in Palo Verdes. The street curved right, but he went dead straight, plowing into the median, careening across the two oncoming lanes of traffic, hopping a curb, knocking down a wooden sign, plunging down an embankment, and smashing into a tree. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva said there were several rollovers during the process before he came to rest. 2 days earlier, Woods had made a cameo on CBS's 18th Hole Tower, sending shockwaves through golf Twitter with his glassy eyes, bloated face, and slurred speech, particularly troubling given his previous treatment for an addiction to painkillers. In the wake of the crash, he steadfastly refused to fill in any details, and the police did not issue any sort of warrant for a blood draw to find out what were you on that caused you to crash like this. They said, well, there was no signs of impairment. No signs of impairment. He was almost fucking dead. What do you need exactly? It was some hometown cooking for the Southern California kid. When he finally then had a chance to be in front of a microphone again weeks later, Andy, all that Tiger would say is, it's all in the police report. It's all in the police report. To which I snarkily said, here, yeah, the only thing in that police report is a dustpan and a broom.
Yeah.
This shit was swept under the rug.
Right.
The car was traveling an estimated 84 to 87 miles per hour, more than double the legal speed limit, and the car's black box revealed that Woods had kept stepping on the accelerator throughout the crash, and that the pressure applied to the pedal remained at 99%. So in other words, it may not even have been that he was impaired and lost focus or was texting. It was hammered down at 88 miles an hour across two lanes, over two curbs, into the air, into a tree. That's why Shipnuck says something dark visited Tiger Woods.
Does that indicate it might have been a suicide attempt?
Yes. That's okay. Obviously what it means. Like, if you fall asleep on Ambien and painkillers and Zoloft and whatever, your foot's going to come off the accelerator, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or also, if you're about to crash, you know, you pull off, you slam
on
the brake.
There was no corrective skid marks.
Yeah.
To indicate, oh shit, I'm losing control.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You would think, my friend Ronnie Thomas said, he'll be in rehab by tomorrow morning. And I go, I'll bet the don't pass on that. Knowing Tiger Woods, I'm going to bet the don't pass. And now I'm seeing reports from people saying, well, he's trying to orchestrate how they're going to manage this because he was maybe going to play in the Masters. He was 5 days away from deciding whether he would captain the Ryder Cup team next cycle in Ireland, and he's the head of the committee that is reshaping the PGA Tour and who's going to play for how much money, when, and everything else with Brian Rolapp.
Right. He's also registered to play in a seniors event too, I think.
Right. He signed up for the Senior Open. Yeah. But here's the thing. The catering to and the ass-kissing of Tiger Woods has got to stop by all levels of the golf media. For God's sakes, people, stop it already. Kevin Kisner, his good friend, who's on his stupid simulator team, and he's making good money, Kisner is, as a washed-up tour player, like $1 million plus for this indoor simulator league, and you got to stay in Tiger's good graces. He went on the golf coverage on NBC with Dan Hicks and delivered just an utter, wait a minute, this is what's first of mind to you. I want to read to you or at least let you listen to. It's not great audio, but I want you to listen to what he said about just a very disturbing incident. Unfortunate incident. Just an unfortunate incident, he said. Not even wanting to go there with a sober, my friend needs help. We're very concerned. My friend needs help. He don't want to risk being kicked off the gravy train that is the Tiger Woods train. It's so unbelievably embarrassing, but I guess when there's that much money involved, you do whatever you have to do, right?
Well, that's not what I would do, but that's what he has chosen to do. But again,
take a listen.
I'm joined now by Brad Faxon and Kevin Kisner. Guys, it is all very disturbing news. And Kiz, I know you spent a lot of time with Tiger this past winter. You were on his TGL team. Last time, in fact, Tiger competed was in that event just on Tuesday. So I'm sure very disturbing to hear all of this happen.
Yeah, very disturbing. You know, obviously he was really working hard on his game, trying to practice, get back in shape.
God, who fucking cares? At this point, he's had four car crashes.
Signed up for the U.S. Open, Senior Open yesterday.
Yeah, I signed up for this. I joked, I'm like, you know, Kiz is out here worried about him getting a refund for that entry fee. Like, how about we worry about his life?
Was trying to do anything he could to come back and help our TGL team get ready to hopefully try and play the Masters. And, you know, just a really unfortunate incident. I guess the only positive is that nobody was injured in the incident, and we can all move forward and hopefully help him get better.
Exactly. He's the biggest mover in our sport.
Help him get better. How are you going to help him get better?
Look,
help him get better by being willing to have the balls to look into a camera and say he needs help.
Eventually, he's going to kill somebody. And then what?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Forget, you know, help him get better. How about take him off the road? Now, apparently refusing the urine test, which he did, is a mandatory 1-year loss of license in the state of Florida. So you say, why doesn't he have a driver? Oh, he's going to have a driver now.
Because he has so much money, you know, what stops him from driving? And if he gets picked up again, he can lawyer his way out of that too and not go to jail.
I don't know about that. I don't know if he's going to flaunt that when it comes to it, but
who knows?
There's a report out there because, you know, he's dating Vanessa Trump.
Yeah.
And that puts him in the president's orbit of kids and grandkids. And there's a report. I don't know if it's true or not. There's a lot of fake shit on the internet these days that says the Secret Service has already said before this incident that Tiger is not allowed to drive any of Trump's family with him.
Okay, but Trump put out a statement that the governor should pardon him. So,
oh, he did already?
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. So he's gonna lean on the president to get out of it? Is that it?
No, he went on it his own. He said the governor, DeSantis, should pardon him. So I don't know.
No, absolutely not. In fact, he should arguably go to jail for this because you're right. He could kill somebody. So now we sit and wait, Andy, for what sort of press conference? Remember the presser?
The
blue curtain of shame
after
the sex scandal. What will Tiger Woods do now? I want your prediction on this.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be some, I don't know, he may just do it the way he did the last crash. He'll just move on from it, you know, and
not answer questions, say it's all in the police report. By the way, we have not seen the police report yet. That has not come out. That's kind of unusual, given it's been this many days.
Yeah,
but out already.
But his team of attorneys were probably all over it as soon as it happened, and you know, managing the release of information. That's the way things work.
Well, I'm reading here. There's a legal opinion on ABC's affiliate in West Palm Beach outlining some items in play, including that the DUI charges may not hold up in court for a number of reasons. And that Woods was never actually convicted of DUI in the 2017 driving incident where he was found on the side of the road, on the curb in Florida.
Yeah.
Completely unresponsive. That led to the mugshot of him with the eyelids half shut. And everyone's like, damn, man, you got to get some help. Well, here we are almost 10 years later and he's as bad as ever.
I mean, I given all the things that have happened to him, I'm sure he isn't paying all the time. I mean, I can't imagine with the back surgeries and the leg and all those things.
I don't doubt it. And I also don't doubt that addiction is one of the most insidious and horrible things that is not easy to overcome. So I don't want to be unsympathetic to the battle that he is facing. But I know this, getting out of legal trouble this time again with the help of the governor or Trump or whoever, and having your media, but having your, you know, golf buddies like Kisner soft shoe it on TV. And now these golf influencers like Dan Rappaport and Riggs from Barstool. Did you see the Riggs from Barstool?
No.
Because, so you know, the Barstool guys, the four-play guys, managed to get in tight with Tiger over the years. And so they got great access. They walked inside the ropes with Tiger at the PGA Championship. They filmed content with Tiger Woods. They are total and utter Tiger Woods fanboys. And this guy Riggs, whose real name is Bosnonian, I believe, just goes by Barstool Riggs. He's like their golf guy. This is what he said as soon as the news came out. You ready? Here we go. Yep. Hold on a second. I've got to hit the right buttons here. Don't let me forget to edit out all my cussing earlier when I couldn't get this technology to work right. I know you will. Just kidding. Okay. Here we go. Okay. All right. Here we go. This is Riggs from Barstool.
You think I told our team to not post about Tiger Woods' DUI and to protect him? You're goddamn right I did. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We'll protect Tiger Woods till we fucking die.
So there you go. People are saying, you know, the day and age of Dan Jenkins covering golf and the PGA Tour is long over, that you've got clowns like Riggs as one of the top personalities in the golf space.
Well, it goes full circle on this, because there's a story of when the writers used to travel with the baseball teams on the same train, a bunch of writers playing cards in one room, one dining car or whatever, and a woman comes through with a butcher knife screaming at a naked Babe Ruth who runs through. One of them looks up and said, "This would make a hell of a story." And the other one said, "Yeah, it would. Deal the cards."
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, more to come on this on the golf front from my guys on the Capital Golf Gang. I know that Buddy Christensen and John Gould and John Ronis will have ideas about this. We'll get that episode taped as I am now back from Vegas. No worse for the wear. I won at almost every turn when I was there. I won at craps twice. I wanted a short stint at blackjack, and I won betting on the games, even with the big loss of $500 on the stupid Nebraska game. Four players, idiots. So it was a good week. Good week. Yeah. Next year, can I pencil Andy Pollin in for next week?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I could see possibly.
You can find some time to come on out. Do you have any PTO? You think you'll have accrued from the station?
I'm fine on that, and I you know, I'm at an AM radio station. You know, we're day to day here, so I don't know.
Well, if you guys are still doing stuff, then let's make some promotion for your show.
Oh yeah, we have this big promotions budget. Oh.
Sam Bozoian. His last name is literally Bozo. And boy, do people hate him. Part of the reason they hate him is because he's got a great life. And I'll give old Bozo credit. He built the Barstool Golf brand from nothing on his own hustle way back when. And now he's got a ton of money. He's a millionaire, belongs to a bunch of private clubs, plays golf with Tiger Woods, and says dumb shit like that, which is, yeah, of course I told my bloggers, don't post about this. All the time. Eventually, those who are the disruptors in media, Andy, who are outside the tent pissing in, get invited inside the tent, and they start pissing out.
Right. Well, and that's all within the last 10 years, maybe five.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, Andy, great to connect with you, and next year you're coming. That's all I got to say.
I'll look forward to that. Of course, my schedule doesn't really fit in well with the way you're scheduled, because you're coming in as I'm getting up, but
we'll figure it out. The games are earlier out there, which will fit.
That's true. Yes. As I've said, I'm very jealous of my son living in Pacific Coast time. Yeah. That Monday Night Football starts at 5. That's great.
Yeah. Some of the Sweet 16 games were tipping off at 9:45 Eastern time on a Thursday night. That's ridiculous. Come on, people. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good to be back from Vegas. Thank you to everybody who came out for Zabe Vegas. Full recap plus that tableside conversation with Armin and Mr. X and Gil Alexander from VSiN. We'll be dropping as a subscriber-only episode, because I owe you one of those episodes from last week when I didn't deliver it on Friday. And I know some of you are like, hey, $5 a month. Where is that bonus episode that you normally deliver? Thank you for listening. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Why in the world would anybody put chains on me? Yeah. I'm paid.
my dues to make it. Everybody wants me to be what they want me to be. I'm not happy when I try to fake.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.